So that's what we have. How was your day, by the way?
Alhamdulillah, as good as it can be. What about yourself? It must be quite strange to read about yourself and your tweets in a newspaper.
It was interesting. Yeah, I was not thinking it will happen. You know, it just suddenly you become a story. I was not thinking about it, to be honest, like whatever.
Are you surprised by just how influential you can be?
I think it's not really like you per se, but it's just algorithm kicks in when it sees that there's something is going on. There is a news happening. So it's a source of the news is what triggers algorithm to feed it more. Otherwise, it could have just died. You know, I'm sure many, many people just tweeted, but the story died. But for some reason, algorithm picked up this particular one, you know?
Sure. I imagine there's some people who are listening who have no idea what we're talking about.
So, should we start? Did we start or what?
Yeah, we've already started, I think.
All right, okay.
Would it be possible for you to just give a quick recap of everything from the beginning?
So what happened is that I got this clip from one of the Australian comedians.
This Australian extremist stormed this building, this mosque, this room, where people were saying their prayers and going about their business. And for me, the saddest thing about that, it wasn't the 52 people who were killed. It wasn't the countless others who had their lives changed forever because their family members were taken from them. It was the hundreds of people that night who couldn't make it home from nightclubs in Christchurch because all the cabbies were dead.
So I posted that clip, and for me, it was very interesting to see at the way that everything happened. Even the audience in that clip, you see them in the moment. In one moment, they were like, oh.
Church, because all the cabbies were dead.
And then they started laughing. And even the comedian, you can see him, he's watching, but he's like hesitating. And when he sees everybody sort of laughing, he goes along, which shows you that even he himself knows that there is something wrong in this joke, but he goes with it. So then I put a few points. He is attacking people who are really voiceless, who cannot defend themselves, and he's making a joke and fun of them. Media picked it up, the Twitter picked it up, and he made a video, the news started sharing it, and so it became a big story. I just before this, my daughter sent me that Brother Muhammad Hijab also answered it.
So really, it's one standard for yourself, but another standard for the community, which you think is a disposable one, which I think you're learning is not, which is the Muslim community.
If you treat me with respect, I will treat you with that same respect.
And then at minute 5:40, you talk about respect. As if we're going to really listen to you. Yeah, it's really, let's be real. I mean, that's the joke. Do you want to make a joke? You want to make a joke? Yeah? That's the joke. That you are going to start talking to us about after all you've done about respect. And the people who died were different genders and different ages. Let's be frank. You might be saying, oh, this is pedantic, it's a joke. No, sorry, this does not work with me. It does not work with me because the word joke here, yeah, and what it means to be a joke is not this, what you try to put forward and fool your audiences with. It's not that.
I listened to that just before we started. Very, very solid, strong response. And a lot of people gave a beautiful comment.
Just out of my own curiosity, where did you obtain the video of the comedian from?
So I obtained this from his clip, from his show, which is called Anti-Hero Show. Often these comedians, they are on the edge. They are pushing sometimes many cultural issues, political issues. There is a lot that is happening inside the comedy, whether you talk Dave Chappelle, for example, who was giving commentary on what's happened with the shooting in America. And so you have basically in this scene where you have political commentators, you have cultural commentators, you have comedians, you have some academics, activists. So everybody is commenting on these cultural issues. And this is where I see him and comedians like him from the left and to the right who are commenting. So so a lot of these issues that we are talking to today or in general, this is the arena where they are happening. So I observe some of these comedians that I think that they might have some sort of input. So I got an email that he got a new show. I said, let me check it out. And so I recorded the clip. When I watched it first time, I couldn't continue watching after that clip. Later on, I tried to watch more, but I couldn't. I mean, that was too much for me. So I recorded it on my phone, and I wasn't sure what to do with it. I waited for a couple of days. Really, I didn't really feel good about what he was saying. That crossed the line for me, really. There was before that anti-Semitic joke, and I didn't listen to the rest. And so that's when I started, when I thought, okay, let me upload this and share it with people, see what other people are thinking.
And the response you got from other people, obviously?
Obviously, I mean, people were very negative. But of course, his audience is opposite of that. His audience, where he shared his response to that, he painted himself as he's being a cult, canceled, that this is a PC culture, these are the snowflakes rising up. And that's why I said in my response initially regarding his, I understand people like him, where they are coming from. There is this problem with the PC culture. You cannot say anything inappropriate. And then you don't want to live in a society where everybody is so sensitive, everybody is so hypersensitive, that they are not allowed anymore to talk.
The riot squad was called to Sydney University after student protesters stopped people from entering a speech being delivered by Bettina.
Actually, one of the good points in the many Western societies these days is that freedom to speak, especially against very powerful forces, whether it's corporations, individuals, or a government. And that's why even in one of our hadith in the Sahih Muslim, you see some of the companions discuss about Western world. At that time, they called them Romans and so on. And one of the things is that they say they don't tolerate oppression of their king. So this is a great institution when you, as an idea of not being like a slaves in society, that you are not allowed to speak, you are censored and so on. But I brought that point in a sense to show understanding that we understand that idea. But he was not going against the powerful forces in defense of a system or the principle of some sort. He was going after the most vulnerable people who have suffered tremendously, and he was joking about them. He was not joking independently about something. He was exploiting what happened to them, and he was emotionally hurting. So the joke was at the expense of the people who were already terrorized. And that is, this is not a victimless joke. You know, this is a special comedy special. This is going on. And so he must know the victims, real victims who suffered what happened there. Again, the joke was at their expense. And so we have two problems here, if I could say. We have a joke itself, and then we have a culture, comedian culture. I was talking today with some friends, and the joke is one side, but the culture is another thing that is happening. What is happening with the comedy world today? Where is it going? So, I mean, if you want, I can break it down if you want me, or if you have another question, I mean, I'm happy to.
Well, before we even get into the breakdown, perhaps one of the things that we can actually point out is that it seems as though the comedian himself wasn't even sure that the joke would necessarily land. You pointed out earlier that, you know, he seems to make a response which indicates that perhaps he himself is not comfortable with that particular joke. So I think that's an interesting observation that you made earlier, actually.
The fact that he himself, in his response, is saying, I visited Christchurch and we said a little prayer about these people, although he doesn't believe in anything. He himself said nothing is sacred off limits. He's trying to compassion grounds tell us about I care.
Anyway, try and have a good weekend. I love you all, and be kind to the people around you. Peace out.
So that show he himself is not comfortable with what he's saying. And he's saying it's just a joke. I don't believe what I'm saying in the comedy.
It is a joke. It is not real. It is make-believe. I don't really feel like that, but that is what comedy is.
He's separating in two things, like, oh, what I believe, this, the comedy and jokes, something else. He knows what he's doing is, there is something in that joke that is fundamentally wrong. When he does not apologize, he should, and he pursued it, he goes from being just a person who is ignorant about what's happening, and we can characterize later on, to being arrogant. And so I guess that's why we are criticizing him in a sense, but not just necessarily him as a person. He's not, for me, interesting as a person or this particular joke. It's not also, Muslims are not like snowflakes. We're going to melt like a sugar and crumble down and he offended us. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Islam is very stable. Islam invites actually the criticism and scrutiny. And say Allah says in Quran, bring the evidences and challenge this and that. And so debate and criticism and discussion and different opinions. And this is a scholarly tradition.
To be fair, Islamic. It's not necessarily the case that he is actually being cancelled as he's claiming. Would we be correct in saying that, right?
I don't have any need to cancel him, nor could I, nor should I, nor the issue for me is, again, mostly about the culture that is being created here. And that is that comedian culture. So the certain things and statements he said when there is nothing sacred, there is just a joke, nothing is off limit. That is the problem. That worldview that he represents. That idea of the comedy, what is the comedy? You know, that is for me the problem. Not the sense of, as he said, I just want us to laugh, to relax a little bit or something like that. That's a beautiful thing. Even the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to joke with people. He would do certain things and person is get, by the time they figure out what's happening, he gives him the good news and everybody smile and, you know, the purpose is, The what he's saying in certain way to make people relax here and there and bring about some joy, that's a great thing. That's a great intention. But at the expense of emotions of other people, that's a different story.
Right. So in terms of your breakdown, how would you like to proceed with it?
So the first, I'll say something a little bit about the joke, which just occurred to me before this, because of unique experience that I have around this event and the joke, I just want to share that before I go into the problem of this hurtful comedic culture that we are witnessing evolving in front of our eyes. So first of all, just let me tell you something about the Christchurch, just in a very brief. When the Christchurch massacre happened, I was with some of the friends and somebody sent me a recording because he posted the link directly on one of these websites, 8chan or 4chan, one of these websites. And I visited that later and downloaded his manifesto and all of these things. So I had that recording and I looked at the recording. In the beginning of that recording, the shooter, Australian, who is, you can hear him listening a song. Me being from Bosnia, I recognize the language. It's a Serbian song. Okay, it's insane. Bosnian and Serbian, pretty much the similar language. Okay, and also when the screenshots came, when I saw that, I thought, my goodness, I can read this. Because in Bosnia, we used to read Latinic and Cyrillic. 1 week Latinic, 1 week Cyrillic letters. So Bosnians, let's say, we write in Latinic, and then Serbs in Cyrillic, you know, like Russians and so on. Yeah. I could see Serbian iconic old war leaders who fought Muslims and certain names from the history. And I thought, my goodness, this guy's singing Serbian song and he's having these icons from the history who fought against Muslims, very famous in Serbian history and mythology and all of these things, you know. And then the song itself, when I focus myself, what is this song about? The song is very famous joke itself. So the song name was Remove Kebab. What means Remove Kebab is, it's kind of characterizing how Muslims, especially Turks, are so many, they are kebab owners, okay? Every kebab is, so when we remove kebab, so they say, oh, these Turks, to remove them, is to remove the kebab. So Turk, synonymous with kebab, synonymous with Muslim, which is what, interestingly, these heroes from the history that he has on his guns is exactly there for the Turks. And Serbs call Muslims, Bosnians, Turks. And when General Mladic commits the genocide in Srebrenica, he says, this is my gift to Serbian people for 500 years rules of Turk. This is revenge.
I napokon došao je trenutak da se posle bune protiv Dahija Turcima osvetimo na ovom prostoru.
He commits genocide in Srebrenica. And this is his gift to people that he got rid of the Turks. So this is what we mean, that they mean removing the kebab. This kind of removal, okay? This is what he's going to the mosque to do, remove that kebab. This idea, this joke, started as a joke. Remove the kebab, ha ha ha, laughter, there is a song, and there's this guy proceed to do what he has done. Now, I don't mean to equate thing, but it is interesting that this person in his joke, rather than using this stereotype kebab, he's using taxi drivers. Another joke. You see, so all of these are jokes.
But that is what comedy is. It is people going on a stage and telling people jokes. Now, I know the stand-up you may be used to is just little jokes about, oh, the train and the tram.
So these ha-ha-ha, these taxi drivers, Muslims, they were shot down. That's the biggest problem, you know, how we can get these people home when these taxi drivers, all of them were shot down. So the question, I guess, that needs to be asked is, where is comedy heading today? You see, jokes about Muslims, racist jokes. Even if you go to the past, people used to joke. Again, at jokes. Jim Crow, when people talk about racism now and bring Jim Crow and certain laws and everything, it was a joke as well. It was a racist depiction of African American and their culture. These things find their ways and attract certain people because it is very hard also to separate what you believe from what you do, although they're trying to separate that. Oh, this is like they separated the church and the state. Like, oh, your church for you, state for us. And we come neutral to the state. Where you people, you come already biased in the state. So they are saying, we can separate, be objective, but you people cannot be. And so he is trying to tell us that he is successfully separating himself from these things and therefore going objectively for some higher purpose. So he is, and his joke is just really example of them. I was listening, as I said, Muhammad Hijab just before this, and he points out something interesting, which is a good addition to what I'm talking about, is that he almost make, when he says, this is a joke and comedy, it's almost like he's making purpose of his life is to tell a joke.
That's not the purpose of life. I'm not saying you shouldn't or you couldn't. You can do that as well. It's a subsidiary thing.
What is the problem in this culture? So the problem is that this kind of culture in comedy world is a result of, we could say, a spiritual void. As a consequence of this fateless society, the comedy culture then runs like a wild animal. anything that will bring us joy, even if it is expense and emotions of others. We don't care, we just do it. And that's what he continuously repeats.
One of the questions I was curious about, and I'm sure others are curious about it as well, you know, someone even brought this to my attention when discussing it, and that is, by having a discussion of this kind, one of the outcomes, possible outcomes, is that these people get more attention. For example, if this particular clip was not shared with regards to this comedian, I doubt people would not really have any concept or knowledge as to what actually occurred in his comedy bit. Now, is that a concern in terms of giving these people more attention? You know, ultimately, these are people who are craving more attention, more people watching their clips and getting to know who they are and thus being exposed towards them. So what would you have to say with regards to a query such as this?
This is the idea, a very utopian, naive idea, where if we just keep quiet, everything will be fine. Nobody will talk about you. Nobody will attack you. The world will be a phenomenal place. The problem is we are drowning in that. Issue is not whether this comedian will have 1 or 10 or 100 million viewers. Issue is that another one will, either him or another one. Because issue here is this culture, entertainment complex, news complex, politics, you know, academia, all of these different platforms. They are saturated with these world views. So if you don't take it from this comedian, you will take it from somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. So it doesn't really matter who will, water will go into this bottle or that bottle and the view will come. The issue is this is affecting you, affecting people. And your people are consuming that. So you have to have response to these people. And the response is by responding, tackling the idea. So if you don't dismantle and tackle idea and confront the idea, then what are people gonna, observers, let's say younger people or everybody else? Islam doesn't have an answer. Muslims are, look, they're running away. They can't respond. You have to take a challenge head on. This is a challenge that throws. Look at the comedians he's quoting. Ricky Gervais, this one, that one, you know. All of them using that platform to attack religion, which reminds me of a good joke. The clever joke that one Jewish rabbi made recently. And he said that there was this young student. He wanted to know if hellfire exists. So he goes from the rabbi to a rabbi, and every rabbi gives him a different opinion. So at the end of the day, he collects 5 different opinions about hellfire. So he, after the search, he goes to his teacher. He said, my dear teacher, can you help me to reconcile these different views? Some say there is a hell, some say there isn't hell, some say we'll be there temporarily for eternity, different views. And his teacher is asking him, why are you so concerned about this question? He said, my fear is if there is a hell and I go into it, I don't think hell will ask me how many opinions were there about me. But comedy wants to tell you that none of realities of life, suffering, how we bring ourselves a joy, how we deal with other people, what are the principles, what is the outcomes of different things that we are doing in this society. None of this matter if you can make a joke about it, if you can temporarily joke about it. Okay?
So I've understood 2 things from your explanation. And first is that the level of discourse needs to be elevated. And secondly, in this discourse, there needs to be more Muslim voices, perhaps.
Absolutely. You need Muslim voices who will bring sanity, bring the balance. As our scholars used to say, the comedy, the joke and laugh is like a salt to the food. It can make it better, but you overdoing it makes you something else. But this salt, this flavor, your angle comes from the what you believe in reality.
One of the things which is interesting about this particular incident, you know, this comedy that we're discussing, is it sort of indicates to us, for us at least as Muslims, that there are limits to comedy, right? But this is not something necessarily which is shared by non-Muslims and so forth. How do you think that we as Muslims can make our sensitivities be expressed properly?
Well, you know, everything, as I said, comes from what you believe in. The line, they say comedy push the line, but where is the line? It comes from the root of what you believe in. So even these people observe some beliefs and some norms. For example, they might make a joke about racism, let's say. But who would from them defend to make a racist, blatantly racist joke? If he is really true in what he's saying, that joke is joke, anything is just for the laugh, then what about KKK or something getting together and making this joke? Or these people remove kebab joke, ha ha ha, of Muslims. Is that all then okay? According to that idea, then everything is, there is no limit.
Right.
But everybody has a limit.
I've been following
our limits are different.
Sure. I've been following some of the comments on social media. The first gut reaction of some individuals is that perhaps, you know, the comedian, he will not make jokes about the Holocaust. He will not make jokes about this or that. But the fact of the matter, as is pointed out by yourself, is that he has made such jokes, even said something of this nature in his own video, which he published. Now, it seems that there are no limits. For such individuals, do you think that it is actually safe to say that? Do you think there really genuinely are no limits?
I think that's he's trying to say that there are no limit to appear brave. He's a bit more on the right. So this looks like appeal to those anti-PC, these everybody is a snowflake type of discussion, you know, and he likes to attack feminists, vegans, you know, these postmodernists, and, you know, everybody is a privilege, let's throw hysteria. These are easy targets for picking for him, you know. And to continue to please this audience, he's playing to his audience and very safe. These still jokes are very safe. Yes, he said some things against you know, Holocaust and those kinds of things. But Muhammad Hijab actually makes very interesting observation here, I think, which is that based on who that comedian is, many of these jokes, yes, he said them, but there is no real cost on him for saying that. He is not in the environment where even that joke can affect him. Or he is not even from the people that the culture is like that. If he was the historian and making that comment, there would be consequences. If he lived in Germany or Austria or somewhere where there is memory of that, he's saying that from Australia. You understand?
Yeah.
And so he's putting in a joke way where everybody sort of his equal rights offender. So it's not like he's really going there. Give a lecture, give a thing, and he's just making a references, passing references. That's not the real joke about any of these things. You understand? So he's very much observing where he can go, what culture. And of course, his audience seems to be type of audience that there is an appetite for these particular jokes, which he's playing into. So his narrative that he's constructing as a hero from all of that is a fake narrative.
Yeah. In a
and sorry, just one thing.
Go ahead.
Many other people, as Muhammad Hijab saying, imagine if a Muslim say, well, then he doesn't fit that stereotype because Muslims supposedly are all anti-Jewish and everything. And then the media would be differently hostile. You know, even in any other way, that any other topic that he or anyone else can make a joke, It's not always the same who makes the joke. You understand?
I mean, an observation that I sort of made myself within the framework of whatever is going on is that it's much easier for people who are not touched by tragedy to laugh about something, laugh at someone else's pain. Someone that has more of a closer connection to that tragedy, or more of an intimate connection to that tragedy, be it through religion or, you know, the town that you're living in, such as Christchurch, is less likely to find that particular brand of comedy as funny. So that's interesting in and of itself, that, you know, if it's not your pain, you can laugh about it.
I think his probably answer would be, I laughed also about my, some of my family members, some of my things here and there. And I think it more so talks about a lack of empathy, lack of that there is no any particular value, that you, there is some void in your heart, that that you are after very temporary laugh and you don't care about others. So that just shows that basic ignorance, you know, because when you don't understand others, when you cannot contextualize the anything, it's like a child. But why do we don't do this or that? You know, like your children, when they come and they have stupidest of all ideas, why we can't do this or that, or why can't I say this and that? And you have to teach them, and, you know, that means that you are blind to what's going on. You don't have a sensor of where you are. It's a very low, primitive, animalistic. I was today telling my son, he was we're talking about a cat and dog, and you know how the animals just follow the instinct. They poo where they want and they do whatever, they sleep. You don't find them thinking too much high level. I say this is animals, just like machine. You press the button, does something. So being proud of, oh, I'm just following my desires, whatever I find, I go with that. We in Bosnia, we have a saying, which is that what the smart and wise person is ashamed of, foolish person is proud of.
In a best case scenario, what would you personally like to have happened or happen?
I think it would be a good opportunity for him to reflect on what he really believes. If you want to challenge something with himself and stand for something, go deep in what you believe in. You yourself said, this is catastrophe, this is something wrong, I wish everybody is kind. Why not extend what you really believe into what you are doing? Have integrity to transfer all of these into your, because he's obviously very clever and talented communicator. Transfer that. Let that set new standards so that the jokes are bringing some value and some benefit, not just at the expense of others, because everybody can say that joke. You see, anybody could make that joke. It doesn't mean to me. So that's not very high level of joke. So you want to have a joke which you think about it, and it brings you certain things, but there is some genuine benefit of it, some good in it that you can be proud of, not ashamed of. It's not in conflict with your beliefs.
Yeah. I mean, in his non-apology as well, it seemed as though he was just showing us clips of another comedian by the name of Jimmy Carr and saying, look, he does something as well. He does something similar. He told the worst joke as well, or something which was equivalent to what I said. So it seems as though there's no independent thinking in terms of, you know, if this person can do it and get away with it, I should be able to as well. It seems that kind of, you know, thinking is prevalent in this particular situation. Now, do you think that just because someone else has been able to successfully get away with outrageous type of comedy, that the same should apply in this particular situation as well? Or can apply?
When I was thinking about this issue last night, I remember the hadith the Prophet said about this general issue: if you have no shame, do as you wish. And then I remember this, there was a verse in Quran that talks about people who were doing tawaf around Kaaba naked. And I read, I opened the tafsir to see what it was about. And they say, Allah is saying that these people commit bad, shameless deeds, fahisha, you know. And the reason for this is that they say, we found our people before doing this. And reason what they make as excuse why they're doing this, they say, well, God created us like this without no clothes, so we're going naked. So people using some sort of a logic or linking themselves as authority figures. So this guy is doing it. This is what they are doing it. He's referring to some authority why he's doing that. And then he's giving it a logic as well. We're doing this because of whatever, you know. I think in all of that we see that these guys who are doing it and the culture that is created is morally bankrupt. There is no compass. They don't know where they are going. They will say anything and do anything for whatever reason just to make a laugh. And that's a joke of the old jokes. How small do you have to be that your whole point of existence is just to make somebody laugh? How little you are. And how little you are, you know it's wrong, but just to please somebody else, you making somebody who is voiceless even less than you so you can joke about the lesser one of you. How little you are. That's why scholars of Islam used to say, don't joke, it's dead in your heart. This is the result of dead heart, too much joking. And Mr. Strong Guy is anti all of these things, trying to be a man. Our scholars used to say too much joking is a sign of deficiency of manliness. The real men, they don't joke so much. Real men don't joke like that. So this is a weakness in the manliness. As a man, you don't do these kind of things. And he's joking about, oh, this and that, we are losing masculinity, all of these things like these fake quotes on the right, as well as fake quotes on the left. Both of these, they don't get it. This is not what a man is. And he should know that. So this is deadening the heart, destroying what a real man is. Strong, kawam. He's standing up for something. He's ready to go for where he's needed. And with his comedy, he lifts other people. He is a constructive force for good. And we don't see that. So the joke is in them. These people are very small. They have nothing else to offer. Yeah. Just a cheap joke. Nothing else. But the whole culture, where even you go and you see some Muslims then on his video, oh, they are responding, oh, very good. You know, these, really, really, what you want? Yeah. This is a very pathetic, you know, inferiority complex Muslims, just like you see them in the Muslim comedy scene. You know, that's why I'm saying this machine culture sucking even our Muslims. So you see the other night, what has Hassan Minhaj, something, I don't know what's his name, making joke about dua. Just what is he trying to do? Who is he trying to please? You understand? Who are you pleasing? What's inferiority complex? What is self-esteem that you are suffering? Who hurt you? What's wrong with you? So the whole this scene going for the, and these sort of ideas, so simple. Oh, we go for a shock. Horrific. Who is shocked by these things? Switch, you know, like that joke you were saying. He switched. He was going about talking about mosquito, then he switched them. He was afraid that they die from AIDS. Really? What's that? So stupid. Like, it's not even original anymore. Mm. So these shock. One is, go for real comedians who tell a real joke, who notice something cleverly, who observe something, bring it to your attention, make you change your mind. They do it in a clever way. Well, this is the real thing.
Brings us to an interesting point, interesting question. That is, what do you think comedy should be? What do you think the role of comedy should be in society?
Look, I think, as our scholar said, it's a spice of life. It's something that you need to have art, like a good chef, to put that spice in life. Too much of it will spoil the dish. Okay? And so even as our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to joke and everything, you understand? When the woman came to him and she said, she asked him about going to the heaven, he told her, the heaven, there will be young women, there won't be old ladies in the heaven. And she was shocked as well, you know, like, what's going on? And he said, no, you will be resurrected like a young person and so the point was, he wanted to bring her attention with that spice, to keep her so that it's a memorable experience, because what he's serving is a beautiful news for her, that she will not be old woman in paradise. She will be the young and full of life and beautiful and so on. So he's using the comedy to lift the people up, lift the spirit, to look high, especially these difficult days and times. So that's the purpose of the comedy.
Mm. It should not be made to make people miserable, basically.
Of course.
I understand what you're trying to say. How would you then look at the situation when we're talking about Muslims? Do you think it's different when we talk about Muslim comedians?
I think a lot of Muslim comedians who are coming into this scene are faced with a lot of problems. It's not easy for a lot of Muslim comedians. I went to see some of them talking and joking. I think you have to be somebody who is observing that and have a point of view, reflect on something and put it out there in a way that makes sense. Not just like these TV shows that you read, what's his name, this Rami disgusting show, or any of these, even in terms of we talked before about some series like Suleiman Magnificent, where Muslims are portrayed in a disgusting way. You should think about it and you say, okay, what is my purpose? How do I put this to be consistent with my values? I don't want to come there and project my insecurities. I hate when I see Muslims going on the show and they joke about their mother and father, for example, putting them down like dummies, or putting their culture down, putting the upbringing. This is a very bad thing. The mother who is concerned about him and does everything, and he makes that into the joke. That's disrespectful.
Mm.
So make a joke that doesn't have these negative flavors that are not good. So your morals, your ethics and everything integrated, tell your story, let people learn a little bit about you. Change their perception, challenge something that is really going on.
Mm.
So this is where the hard part is. Is the easy to be vulgar, F this, F that, wow, look at me, I have this. Okay. Even the few days ago, I was watching this, is it Adam Saleh, somebody living with the five kids, you are across everything that's happening on social media. Adam Saleh on the Instagram or on Snapchat or on something, TikTok, he kissed the girl and then he went and this and that, and he became famous for the pranks, and then the guy lost it all together. But young people follow these kind of things, all right? It's one beautiful channel that I, with my son, watch is this Smile to Jannah, for example. Very intelligent, clever brother. Puts a comedy and mix it in some way. I usually put to my son, he's 12-year-old, to him to sleep, and he loves to watch that. Very clever, topical issue. He discusses, brings the comedy, ha, ha, ha. But then there is a serious point at the end, in a clever way put. It makes you contemplate. So you enjoy it. You consume that with a beautiful mannerism. So that shows that, but you can only put them if you have that. If the Muslim doesn't have, if he's empty there, just his name Ahmed, and he doesn't know anything, and he consume all of this culture, he will put the garbage, same garbage out, even worse garbage, because he will mix Islam and Muslims and what the values are, and he spit them to please, to get the Netflix special, to be applauded by these people who are looking for the hijabi or Ahmed to start putting his religion, identity, and culture under his feet as they do to their own parents and the culture and the values. So if we want to be foolish, if we want to support the fools like that, then that's what it is. But if we want to build something, really change the people, bring the message to them, remind them of their purpose in life, bring the point of view into these discussions. I don't mind the stand-ups of there is some intelligent, some intelligent thought. Even if I don't, for example, agree, sometimes I see there are some intelligent thoughts, and people are more and more self-censoring. They don't want to communicate. And I think Muslims need to break that barrier, and especially those who know what they're talking about. They have some Islam, but we need to bring Islam into discussion, the Islamic principles, and put flavor the discussions and ideas in today's culture wars, as they call them, with some of our identity and principles.
From what I understand, based on what it is that you're actually saying, you're saying that the type of entertainment people actually consume, it has an effect in the day-to-day life of people who actually consume such forms of entertainment.
I think it normalizes certain attitudes, it normalizes certain behaviors. These people, then it has intangible effect on the heart. You know, you don't see it, but when somebody jokes about religion, about somebody else, I'll give you an example. My son came to me, maybe what was it, when was it? And he told me a joke. He watched something on YouTube. And I tried to limit, you know, everything, reading, YouTube videos, games, everything in the moderation. But, you know, you hear these sort of things. So he came to me and he says, Dad, we were cooking something together. He said, Dad, do you want me to tell you a joke? I said, go ahead. He said there was a person dying from corona or from some disease, whatever, I don't know. He said, and then doctor gave him, what do you call it, injection and saved him. And then he said, thank you, God. Ha, ha, ha. I said, okay, that's an interesting joke. Let me ask you something. Is it what this joke is trying to say? Obviously, is the doctor saved him, but he's thanking God. How foolish this person is! But I said, okay, let's. You know, he didn't understand. Of course, I'm gonna open this joke more analytically to him, like analyze it. I said, look, is it really doctor that saved him? Like. Seriously, how does doctor, let's say this corona, I say, what is the going to be vaccine for corona? What is the vaccine? Vaccine is something, drug or chemical, that is same like disease, that activates your immune system to respond. Yeah, so doctor is not curing you. He's just found a way to stimulate your own body to fight disease, okay? So then your body fights it, okay? Now, doctor didn't do really anything, okay? He was just intermediary between you and that disease, intermediary to get it something that will, your body will heal itself, okay? And not every time this also works. Sometimes doctors do everything the same, patient dies. Sometimes that patient lives. So if it was truly doctor's skill, every time would be the same outcome. But you see, there is something called destiny. There is the angel of death. You see, that even you want to kill yourself, you shoot a bullet here, people survive. I have seen people, bullet goes in the war. I've seen bullet goes through the, they still survive or they live. Normally, and then suddenly later on they died, or they survived it. So why is it that the same thing happens, different outcomes? Because the one who decides this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the God. So when we say this joke, we are denying God. And that's just ignorance on our behalf. We think logically is a joke, but that's just showing the ignorance, not just of the God and religion, but just how doctor work. You understand? And this is where the problem of these jokes is that they come from somebody who has some agenda. They want to make a joke about God. So they will make up any joke, just joke is joke, just to make it laugh, even doesn't make sense. So in reality, not just spiritual void, there is intellectual void in these people. Most of these arguments, when you strip them down, they don't make any sense. But because the TikTok generation, you know, everything is 5 seconds clip. And a lot of these people don't know anything about anything. They never traveled, they never read, they never experienced anything. They never seen anything. They just live on the phone. That's why they, and all of their, what they are feeding this is this comedy. They have nothing else to fill that. That's why they are so disconnected from everything. That's why they cannot relate. That's why they have this craving just to laugh. That is that animalistic spirit, just feeding these desires. These desires become so big that your rational mind cannot control it anymore. That's why you become desensitized from everything. So do we need a comedy, and how we need a comedy? We need a comedy to bring sense to this. And not just comedy, anything, anywhere there people are consuming, so that tomorrow our kids don't look at these comedians and they are ashamed. Oh, look how he demolished Islam, demolished this. Why? Our intellectual, our mind, and from poetry, from the words, mastery of words is with Muslims. Mastery of these things, of thinkers, of everything. Read anything, anything. But people are need to be confident back into it and learn it and bring it back to this reality so that we can answer and our kids, our community can see, okay, this is the answer to this. We need to remove these doubts that these people are creating, because it's very easy with these phones and everything to send these doubts. So we need to, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith, when he talked about people, good and bad people, he said, if they are on the same boat and the bad people drill the holes in the boat, if the good people don't stop them, the entire ship will sink. So currently, there are a lot of people who are drilling the holes in the ethics and morality of the society and the and intellectual tradition and so on. And they don't care, just for the laughs. But boat is sinking. The boat is sinking. People are not happy. This is not filling them up. Okay, a little bit, they watch Netflix and they forget about the world, but this they are sinking. Their heart is sinking, their soul, they can't be happy. How much this will work, this nonsense and hurting others will work for a laugh.
Yeah, you've mentioned people who are desensitized, but what about those individuals who we could perhaps, for lack of a better word, are oversensitized? In the sense that they're having too much of a reaction against these sorts of these forms of comedy. That particular comedian, he's making claims that in his an apology video, he made the claim that there are some Muslims. He used the word Muslims in general. He didn't say some. I'm saying some. And he's basically saying that Muslims are wishing fire upon him or something of the like. Now, how do you think people should be reacting towards, you know, this, what we've seen so far in terms of that brand of comedy? Because there will always be something that is offensive.
We don't want to be people who are so sensitive, shutting down, like you see on the left. Pardon? Jordan Peterson come, they shut down university campus. We don't want to be like these people. say what you say. Let's challenge. Let's build our own platform where we can speak to these people, put our arguments forward. You know, this is the battle of ideas. It's not going to be, in reality, when you start going for the fist, when you draw a sword, when you start doing like that, that's just look how you look like you have nothing to articulate anymore. Because culture is what you allow to, how you do things, what you allow. You need to shape the culture by saying, well, this is not allowed. This, we don't allow this kind of things. So this is something just like terbia, you know, terbia where you grind, rub something. When you're shaping your own children, over the time you show them that they open eyes for other things. This is with general in population. You need to replace this culture with a different culture. But I don't want to go like these lefties that are so offended with everything and they're shutting down and the way that they do it and the phrases they are using. It's very ugly. So definitely I'm against that kind of a cancel culture as well.
Yeah. So in terms of final thoughts, as we try to wind things up, what would you have to leave the audience to think about?
Audience, it's a very difficult situation. We all want to be relaxed. We all want our heart to relax. We want to have a meaning in life. These days, we have so many of these devices, we have so many of these things, so many recorded TV shows and everything else to steal away our time and everything. But I think where the beauty of these things and the place of joke is when you have somebody to share it, just like food. We said salt is the spice of something that adds flavor to the food, but who you share the food? I can't eat your food online. It's people around me. So your family, your friends, your community that you can experience. So our community, our friends, our everything that is a little bit lost in the corona, this is where the beauty of life is, you know, living your Islam. Even when you're helping somebody, you're helping it with your own hand. It's not the same like when you click and your qurban goes somewhere you don't know. You give it your own hand, you know, to teaching your kids to take a food to somebody who doesn't have it. Here I heard from my wife, one of the sisters run WhatsApp group where every day they cook for different people who are having a medical problem or something. And they make it so that they cook the food, they leave it at the door, they knock and then the person takes it, and they have a schedule for everything in our neighborhood. And I take my son or daughter to do it, to experience, to cook, to deliver, to this and that, so that they can experience. There are other things to be joyful, other than more bigger than yourself and your desires. So by experiencing, and the key here is the time. You need to give it time. You need to pause. We need to pause, disconnect from these things, from too much comedy, too much entertainment, too much of these things, devices and things, and focus ourselves with our family, our friends, some people that care for us and we care for them. And with our Islam and Quran and dhikr and all of these things, you start creating real joyful life. Nothing can fill that. That you cannot get downloaded as an app or a comedy special. You have to sacrifice yourself and time and connect with these people. You invest yourself in the lives of others so that their joy is your joy. Their sorrow is your sorrow. When they are happy, you are happy because you're connected. When you are sad because you're connected, your even sadness goes away. It's diversified across the. So this is how you live life. This is what Islam teaches, balance in life. Not just like animals follow desires. So definitely this is not a culture that is worth having and supporting. And therefore, I hope we will reflect and bring some of these real values into into the culture in our everyday life.
No worries. It sounds very profound. Thank you very much for that, those last words, those final words. And inshallah, we wish you all the best for future podcasts, future YouTube videos, and inshallah, talking more about this particular issue.
Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.